reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we are, we're prayerful that you will hear and heed what is said, that you will listen to the words that are spoken. We are not speaking words based on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or political ploys. We're looking at the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and talking about issues that I believe that confront each and every one of us every day. Today, the issue, is Islam compatible with Christianity? Is Islam compatible with Christianity? We've got a pope now that's traveling the world and basically embracing Islam, in fact, through the Holy See, the papacy embracing Islam since 2000 in particular, with a compact, with written agreements, and working together. And Roman Catholicism is trying its best to embrace and encapsulate every dogma, every cult, and every organizational structure that's called religion to bring it under the umbrella of Roman Catholicism. That's not new. That's been happening since about the 3rd or 4th century. And may I say to you, I'm concerned when I see the high-profile, quote, vicar of God, which is a lie, standing before the world, confronting President Trump, confronting America, confronting what we do in America with our political elections, and trying to undermine and force the change through his position with a long white robe on. Now, if you think that I'm too critical, listen today. We're talking about, is Islam compatible with Christianity? And may I remind you, after a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines, invite you to call. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We have with us today Dr. Glenn Davis, hailing from Folkestone, Georgia, and Dr. Neil Phelps. Both are wonderful, wonderful, theologically minded people that are serving the Lord, teaching and preaching the Word of God, and I'm thankful to have their presence today. In a moment, we'll interview, allow each one to speak. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this is an important subject. This is an important issue, because we're finding today the invasion of Islam in America, and it's partly because of the, may I say this, partly because of the ignorance, the unlearned position of multitudes of Christians in our nation, and the stupidity, if I can be plain, of politicians that's embracing Islam. So may I say to you, I believe it's a two-sided sword that is dangerous, and it's being wielded today. And I believe there needs to be a watchman on the wall somewhere, somehow, that's warning of the danger ahead. I'm delighted to see that as you roll on the internet, multitudes of voices are rising up and warning of the dangers of Islam. I've been doing that for about 25 years. We've had the battle. We've gone through the fire. We've gone through the wicked, evil, socialist, Marxist, communist media right here in the city of Jacksonville that gets all twisted out of shape if you say anything publicly against Islam. And so I think it's time that we confront it. I think it's time Christians understand the dangers. I think it's time for Christians to understand, who is Muhammad? Who is Allah? What is the Quran that's supposed to be their holy book? What does the Quran say versus what the Bible says? What does it say in our Bible about how to become a Christian? What does it say about Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus just the good prophet and Muhammad was the last prophet? Therefore, Jesus is eradicated as having any, if you please, power or authority? Is Jesus Christ divine or not? Quran says he's not. Muhammad says he's not divine. Is he, do we serve today God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity of the Trinity? The Trinity, we call it the triunity of the Godhead. Those are the questions that we need to confront, ask, and very honestly state the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, that's what we do. We face the truth. John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. There was the secularist George Orwell in yesteryear in the dystopian novel entitled 1984 that made this statement. It's a powerful statement. I'm not embracing Orwellians, but he said in this quote, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, mark my word, some of the things I'm saying today, there'll be some that will bow up in the back, get angry, bristled at the neck, and disagree with. That's your prerogative. Tell God, don't tell me, because all we're going to do is speak the truth. What does the Word of God say? Should we embrace Christianity and nothing else? Or should we amalgamate Christianity along with all other dogmas, all other religions, all other fallacies, and not be warned, as God warns us in His Word, of false teachers? I believe we're witnessing false teachers being proliferated in our world today, especially in America, and multitudes of Christians that are too anemic in the Word, too ignorant of the Word to recognize, and therefore they embrace it. We need to get back to the truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Listen to this very profitable, beneficial statement. Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. We have multitudes today that reject the truth. I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without commitment to truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what we're here to do today, is defending the truth. I'm not talking about some aberrant thought. I'm not talking about some philosophical rhetoric. I'm not speaking about pointing to some denominational dogma. I'm talking about the truth. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's what we need to stick to. That's where we need to stand today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time carries the full line of the Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. I know. You're saying, how do I find Tools for Time? Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today's issue is perhaps one of the most urgent. let me say that again, perhaps one of the most urgent issues of our day. The modern progressive woke Christians appear to literally be willing to embrace any kind of so-called gospel religious talk. And more seriously is that so many denominations have not fully embraced the truth of God's word, and therefore they're willing to embrace dogma, philosophy, religion in general. You can find that in multitudes of what's called the Christian cults today. Christian cult, the Wake and Watchtower group, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian cult, Mormonism, where they claim to believe in Jesus, but another God is out there that they follow. Not the writing, and not the written, revealed, inspired Word of God. I could go through a whole litany of the names of those cults. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe when you look at the roots, the foundation, and what's believed, what's embraced, and what is taught through the Roman Catholicism today, you can find that it is a cult. Now listen, that's a harsh statement. Many disagree with that. That's fine. It's when I say, for example, that I believe it's impossible for a dogmatic Democrat to be an American, real American, or Christian. I say the same thing. If a person is a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic, that person cannot claim I'm saved. I don't care what those anchors on Fox News says. I don't care what the other anchors on other media say. If they're part of the Roman Catholic Church, if they follow the dogma and the belief that's taught by the papacy and those priests that they stand before, they're not teaching them the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And the problem that brings us to this journey and this juncture and this issue today is that we have so many that claim to know Christ but embrace works, embrace other dogmatic philosophies and theologies and doctrines that are not biblical. We're going to take apart some of those things today. We're going to look at it and analyze it and asking the question, is Islam compatible with Christianity? Now I'm going to give you a big old word for the answer, and then we'll dig into it. To answer that question, is Islam compatible with Christianity? The big old word, no. It is not compatible in any shape, form, or fashion. And may I say to you, that's what we need to understand. And I'm thankful that we have Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps with us. Dr. Phelps, take just a moment and speak, before we get into the issue, speak from the standpoint of why it is so urgent for Christians to study the Word, know the Word, and see what the real thing is about.
I'm happy to report to you today that it's vitally important, because if we are not following the truth, we're going to miss out on heaven and salvation in Christ. Mm-hmm. The Bible reveals to us that all of us need a Savior. Mm-hmm. And that's because we are sinners and we have to deal with the problem of sin. In Isaiah 45:22, we read of the God of the Bible, who says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else."
Amen.
Also, in the New Testament, we read about our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and it says in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And those are vital truths that we need to personalize and realize and come to know the truth of the Scriptures concerning God's great plan and God's salvation for mankind.
Amen. Well stated. Dr. Davis, let me toss the ball to you for a moment for some preliminary introductory thoughts in relationship to you. Have you seen, do you recognize, have you witnessed in your ministry years those that say they're saved but do not know the Bible, do not know how to find John 3:16, much less any other verses, but claim to be saved? Is it possible for a person to be saved and yet remain ignorant and not concerned about and not interested in and not hungry for the Word?
Well, I want to say first, good morning to all of my family and friends, amen, that are here, and I pray that you will listen up closely because I preach this word constantly, pretty much every day.
Amen.
To my family first. Mm-hmm. All of my family members are not saved. Praise God, and I'm trying to do all I can to help them to get in before the door closes.
Amen.
Once that happens, then there's no hope for you.
That's right.
But when we consider those who are called Christians and don't know the Bible, I would say that's an insult to God and to Christianity. Because we have to know and understand, in order for us to know what the true faith is all about, we have to base all of our beliefs, all of our teachings and practices and everything we do in life on the inspired, infallible, written word of God.
Amen.
We're talking about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need to understand, and you teach this so well. You got me doing this now.
Amen. That's good.
I tell them context, context, context.
That's right.
You have to understand everything from the word of God in context in order to apply it in the proper place. The Bible is a book of instructions. Almost everything we have to connect with in life, when we buy things from the store, it comes with instructions. You come with instructions.
That's right.
When God made you, he gave you the instruction manual. That's the Bible.
That's right.
So once you come to know and understand what's there, and things begin to happen in life, just like troubleshooting troubles with your car or anything else, you can consult the book in your car pocket, the manual that comes along with the car, to see what happens when the car doesn't run right or if it doesn't drive right. Same thing for your life. If things don't go right in your life, you can consult the word of God. It's
Amen.
Written right there.
That's God's owner's manual.
So that's it. So, I mean, once again, for me, and I have run across this many a time. I'm doing it pretty much on a daily basis now. I have found out in 2026, a lot of Christians still don't know the word of God.
That's right. So let me butt in for a moment and ask you this, and we'll kick it off from this standpoint. If a Christian claims to be a Christian, does not know the word of God, is it possible for that Christian to be deluded, to be deceived, and drawn into a cult or a false teaching?
Well, here's what I push this very hard. Based on what I know about the scripture, when you look at John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I teach this all the time. If you don't know the Word, you don't know God.
That's right.
Now, that's based on what we read in John chapter 1.
That's right. The Word
the
says.
The Word was God. So if you don't know the Word, you don't know God.
That's right.
So that's a dangerous position for you to be if you are a confessing Christian.
Yes.
Now, here's another big complication I understand that we face today, we who are truly standing on the Word of God. We are facing cultural Christianity.
That's right.
These people want to involve fleshly desires and practices with the Word of God in order to make their life more comfortable. Let me tell you something. God say, be holy. When your flesh wants to do something and you find something in the Bible that teaches against what you are doing, and if you're going to be a Christian, God is saying, depart from that, so that you can be holy. The flesh is going to rail against that.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we're looking at today, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, is Islam compatible with Christianity? Let me just set the stage a little broader. God's word gives us warning after warning after warning about false teachers, false theology, false doctrine. The Bible calls it heresies, mythology, and God's word is very, very clear that the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy that there'll come a day when people will not believe the truth of the doctrine, the truth of the word, but will be led astray by teachers having itching ears. The people with the itching ears will want to follow every teaching that comes down the pike. And right now we're witnessing the end result of what, not necessarily the end result, but the result in part with what Rick Warren taught 25 years in a row when he was the pastor of Saddleback Community Church in California, which, by the way, was a Southern Baptist church, for those that may not know that. And he taught Chrislam. He allowed the Islamic mullahs to come into his pulpit and have the Islamic call to prayer, and the people in his church believing, embracing, as Rick Warren named it, Chrislam, that is Christianity and Islam being sister religions. And at this very moment, the Pope is advocating that without saying the very same things. The Pope now says that Catholics, I'm quoting, should not be fearful of Islamic teachings or Islam. It's a religion. It's compatible. In fact, within the realm of popery, by the way, centuries ago, it was called Mariology, in the contemporary realm of the Roman Catholic teaching, the Catholic Church, through the Vatican, they've set up compacts, C-O-M-P-A-T-C-S, compacts, written contract agreements with Islam and Catholicism to cooperate in just about every area that you could consider, and they're calling it that working with that which is compatible. Islam is not compatible with true Christianity today. Islam and Catholics say they worship the same God. Islam and Catholics under the popery system say that Islam and Catholic seek the same thing. They seek the same desire for the immigrants and the love for their neighbor. Islam and Catholics, according to the popery system today, believe that both are for peace and justice. Now, both, talking about Islam and Catholicism. Islam and Catholicism seeks freedom and justice according to their compact agreement. And I'm looking at a headline article that I think that we need to understand. Let me just go through that, and we'll start our questions and comments that I believe that we can work through in the time that we have. In their compact agreement, this article, and I've got, says the Catholic-Muslim Dialogue Initiative under Pope Paul VI and continued by later popes to this very day, summarizes the key agreements, statements, and practical cooperative measures developed between Roman Catholic Church and the entire Muslim world. Number one, affirms respect for Muslims and say that they worship the same God as Catholics. They, in fact, in the compact, they praise Muslims because of their fasting and their charity. They, in this compact agreement, reject any persecution or discrimination based on religion. They call for a dialogue and collaboration on the focus of social and moral services. Common Declaration of the Pope was the first modern papal Muslim summit to affirm belief in the same God. Now, Dr. Phelps, when we understand Islam and when we understand Catholicism, or let's just blanket, say Christianity, do we serve the same God?
Well, I think Jesus answers that question for us in John chapter 17. Mm-hmm. In this chapter of our New Testament, believers are to know that this was a prayer that Jesus offered to the Heavenly Father in the presence of his disciples, and it is a very important passage of Scripture, and it tells us the truth about his relationship to the Father, his relationship to us, and God's plans for those who truly believe God. But Jesus said one thing in the chapter 17 of John's Gospel, John 17:3. He says that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's a very important passage of Scripture because it tells us that there is only one true God.
That's right.
Amen.
And you cannot have many. That's what's wrong with most of the world's religions. Many of them are just an invention of people who have turned away from God.
Mm-hmm. Imagine
we're living in a time of what we call apostasy. Apostasy is a turning from the truth. Mm-hmm. And people turn from the truth for one reason, because they abandon Scriptures.
That's right.
They abandon the inspired Word of God. In this chapter, Jesus spoke to that in the 17th verse. He said concerning the Scriptures, the truth, He says to the Father, sanctify them, the disciples, through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
That's right.
So we need truth today, because without truth, we do not obtain faith. Faith is something that God creates or establishes in us or forms in us when we receive the word of God, the word of truth. God uses the truth to bring us to believe.
Mm-hmm. And it's the truth of the word of God and not the truth of the Quran.
Yes.
Or the truth of what Muhammad might say.
Yes.
Dr. Davis, if the Islamics say that they're worshiping one God, and now because of that statement, because of that that is on the surface to be factual, we have the popes today that have fallen in line with that lie, that's embracing that, and so they're praising Islam and wanting to, quote, fellowship, communicate, and collaborate with Islam, because the Pope says that Islam serves the same one God. Is that the same one? Is Allah the same as God?
Well, when we consider, I mean, let's make sure we understand it in context, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is a moon god.
That's right.
Now,
of the 6th, 7th, and 8th century.
When we look at what Catholicism is supposed to be based upon, they really worship Mary. They don't worship the Lord God Almighty himself.
True. That's right.
They don't worship Yahweh God, and they don't worship Christ Jesus as his son, and Christ being God, because he is God.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in Mary. So now, how could that be worshiping the same God? Now, we need to learn today that God commands us to come together in the faith. Because when I go to Ephesians chapter 4, here is what the Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesian church, beginning at verse number 3, Ephesians 4 and 3. Just going to read a few verses. He said, endeavoring, that means to make every effort, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That answers the question.
Absolutely. And now,
so anything aside from that means that you are committing idolatry.
Absolutely. And that's what we see that's so dangerous today. Because, you see, now, as I've said, and the Pope has said in their Pope-Vatican agreements with Islam, that Islam serves one God, that Roman Catholicism serves one God, and therefore we can come together and be compatible with what we do. They're embracing a false God. It's the moon God. Those that follow that, the Pope and others, they are embracing what is said, and basically from the Quran. Let me just read you in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, page 31, Islam and the Quran. Dr. Kenneth Boyer, in his book, Cults and World Religions, described the central place of the Quran in the Islamic faith, as well as the supplemental works of Islam. The Quran is the authoritative scripture of Islam. About 4/5 of the length of the New Testament, it is divided into 114 surahs, S-U-R-A-H-S, we call them chapters. Parts were said to be written by Muhammad. However, Muhammad could not read and Muhammad could not write. The rest was based on oral teachings, was written from memory by the disciples, that is, the clan followers in the cults of Muhammad's day, after Muhammad's death. End quote. Every Muslim submits to the directives and commands of the teachings of the Quran for every aspect of the total life. The Quran is divided in 114 surahs or chapters, contains 6,200 verses, 330,000 letters, all arranged without any chronological order, all supposedly divine. However, there's no evidence of any divinity, no manuscripts that it's gone by at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I wanted to make in this final thought for just a moment is that the Islamics go by a book. that is a false, phony, demonically inspired book. It is not the Bible. It is not to be viewed as collaborative with the Bible. It's not to be viewed on the same plane with the Bible. It's false, phony, and demonic. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTR.